Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 8th of August, 2021. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul spoke on We All Need Amazing Grace, and the reading is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. So we'll go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning. Good morning if you are here in the church, if you are live online. Good morning wherever you are, indeed wherever you are, if you're listening to this today or it's in the week, you are really welcome, part of church family here together. And whether or not you've been here 100 times before or you get my drift, a lot before, or this is your first time, you are truly welcome as part of our church family this morning. We are family of the Lord together. Amazing grace is our theme for today. It's grace that binds us and grace that unites us. And before we start anything, we're going to pray that God by his Holy Spirit would blow through his church today. That his amazing grace would have rule. So please join me at home and in this building in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that we gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that this is his church, his bride. And because of that reality, Lord, we pray that the Spirit of Almighty God would blow through this place today. Lord, there's a bit of wind outside, but we want there to be more powerful wind of the Spirit inside. But we want it, Lord, not for our honor and glory, but for your glory and praise, for your honor. Have your way with us today. May we be as to the clay as to the potter. May we be, Lord, children as to the Father. May we be Spirit-filled as the power of the Spirit rushes through us. We worship you, Almighty God, in spirit and in truth. So come have your way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining with me in prayer. There are just a couple of notices for today. If you've got a notice sheet for today, you'll see it says summer 2021. It's not like summer outside maybe, but actually that's because to give those that do the notice sheet a bit of a break, for the next 4 weeks, 4 Sundays, this will be our notice sheet. If anything changes, we'll let you know. And sorry, 5 Sundays. I've just kind of had another count. 5 Sundays. This will be our notice sheet. If anything changes, we'll let you know. But please keep the notice sheet. If you have one today, it's going to be yours for the next few weeks. Just a couple of things to update you on. There is a brand new prayer letter from Pippa and Toby in Nepal. If you haven't received it or you want to receive it, our link missionaries out there, can you speak to Sandy? Hi, Sandy. Those of you that are here, hello, over in the corner there. Or Margaret in the office, or myself, or Mark, or Richard, and we'll arrange to get one of those to you. Do you know, when you think of amazing grace, one of the things that always strikes me as being an awesome reality is that our Lord's amazing grace reigns and rules over all the earth. He doesn't confine it just to Minehead. Did you know that? God says, I love the world. And the psalmist reflects some of that greatness in Psalm 8. He says this, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens from the lips of children and infants. Good morning, everyone that's under about 18 this morning. Come and praise with us. Lead us in prayer and praise, we pray. Because God says to you, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Awesome. You're amazing. Thank you for being you. And a bit later in the psalm, 80 goes on, you have made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet. All the flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name over all the earth. whether you're 1 or 101, and I think that includes everyone, let's praise the Lord together. Remember that our Lord's amazing grace rules over all the earth. Roy. Amen. Is he here? The answer is yes. Who is here, you may ask? The spiritual ones amongst you might go, Jesus. The practical ones might say Mark. The reality is, you guys, it's true. Some of you have asked me already, so I'm letting you know. Mark is in the house.
Okay, I need to say thank you to Paul then, because obviously I was supposed to just come up, and it wasn't Paul, and I missed my moment, right? Morning, everyone. Are you okay? Good, good. Who's on holiday? Yeah, are you having a good time? Yeah, good. You're on holiday, Roy. Yeah, you are. Yeah. All right, are you having a good time? Yeah, good. That's okay. All right, right. What's this? Any ideas? It's putty. No. It's not putty. No, not putty. All right? Play-Doh. It's Play-Doh. What do you use Play-Doh for? Play. Well done. You play with it. Okay. You play with it. There you are. Got my Play-Doh. What can I do with it, though? Oh, hang on. I could roll it into a ball, and then what could I do with it? We could throw it. Are you ready, John? No, we won't do that, no. I could roll it into a ball. What else could I do with it, Jamie? What things could I make it into? Be gentle, right? Pardon? A sausage, well done. I like that. We make a sausage, okay? I could put my thumb in the middle. So glad you came back, right? I could put my thumb in the middle. I've made a vase. Look at that. Ooh. What else could I make? A rock. Oh, hang on. I like you. You're good. All right. I could make a rock. Hang on. Is that? Yeah, it looks like a rock. A pot. I like that. Keep going. What time are we going to be in Blenheim Gardens for today? We could go for a long time. All right. It's still on, okay. Right, I've made a pot. All right. Okay. I'll stop there now, thank you. All right, make a man. Right. I've got a question. Did this Play-Doh ask me to make it into anything? Didn't, did it? No, it didn't. Okay. Did this clay do anything so that I could make it into it, into something different? No, it didn't. Go on. It became soft, didn't it? It did. I could have just left the clay, Jeff, in the pot. Pardon? It's a Play-Doh, right? We've got clay out there. Right? I could have put the Play-Doh straight into the pot and left it there. Do you think that's a good idea? What would happen if I just left the Play-Doh here and I came back later? It would dry up, wouldn't it? Is it easy to play with then, Jamie? It's not, is it? It is just like rock solid. Yeah. It's not pliable. All right, big word for Mark on a Sunday morning. It's not pliable. It just stays hard if you leave it. This is just Play-Doh. I could just leave it in there. But you could say that by grace, I saved the Play-Doh. I know it's a bit harsh. Right? I saved the Play-Doh. Not because it did anything or it talked to me. No. I saved the Play-Doh. Right? I took it out. and I saved it from being wasted. I tried to make it useful. It's become really useful and pliable. We could say that this clay, this is for you, Sam, we could say that this clay was transformed, right? Sam likes transformers, right? Transformed is just a posh word for changed, okay? This Play-Doh has just been changed. This is just Play-Doh. Real potters, for you, Jeff, use clay, okay? And they make the clay really useful. They make it into plates, bowls, cups. They mould it into shapes and then they stick it in the kiln to dry out and to bake. It becomes really, really useful. But clay is just fancy mud. It's just fancy mud. And you and I are a lot like clay. The Bible says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living thing. In other words, we are fancy mud too. Have you thought about that? We're just fancy mud. Some of us are fancier than others, but we are just fancy mud. God takes us and saves us from wasting our lives. Could have just left us in the pot for us to go hard, Jamie, and not be able to be used. But God took us out and transformed us, saved us from wasting our lives, changed us into something useful. Who feels useful? Well, you all are. Every single one of you. Whether you feel it or not, you are. God has transformed you by grace, not because you've done anything, but because he loves you. He gave his son so that you could be useful. You could be moulded and changed by grace. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to just stay on the side and go hard and can't be used? Or are you going to let God mould you and change you? You are useful. God has got a plan for you. Just the way I already had a rough idea of what I was going to make my Play-Doh into. God's already got ideas of what he wants your life to be like. He's already got plans that he wants you to be doing. He already knows how he wants to shape you. So let's just pray and ask us to listen and be willing to be shaped. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I really thank you that you have taken this little bit of fancy mud called Mark and you are willing to change and transform him. Help me, Lord, to listen to what you want me to do. Help me to say thank you for what you have done for me. Amen. Okay, we got another song, Roy. So we got another song, and then afterwards we're going to go out into Firestarter. So if you're under 18, you are more than welcome. Okay? And we are going to... We're not going to play with Play-Doh. We've got real clay, okay? So if you've got your best Sunday best clothes on, this could be awkward, right? Okay? I have got a mat to stop the bits of clay going on the carpet, but I can't see Pauline at the moment, so that could be good news, okay? And we'll see you after the song. Are you going to pray for us before we go?
Yeah,
as well?
We will.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. You know, our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Potter, he delights in us. He actually delights in us as we take shape, as he molds us. And in return, we need to delight in the Lord. So we're going to stand and sing Delight Yourself in the Lord.
Delight your-
And just to remind you, we are truly blessed to have young people and children and young adults among us. We're truly blessed to have those that are at university, even though this time of year there's less than, we might say, normal because everyone's away on holiday. We're truly blessed. We are absolutely blessed. And if you don't believe me and you think I'm banging the drum, I am. We are absolutely blessed. So I say to the church 2 years ago when I first, sorry, 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, when I first came here, we have an obligation. And our obligation is to uphold our young people and children. But more importantly, our obligation is to pray for them. Not just those nice prayers that they'll have a good time, although we pray they'll have a good time. But that the Lord will touch them, that they will come to know him. Friends, we have an obligation, not just to ourselves, but to them, to pray. And that is exactly where we're going to start in prayer this morning. Praying for our young people. Now, that's not to say we haven't prayed for them and seen them on their way. But we're not just going to see them on their way. This morning, we're going to pray blessing. So please join me in prayer of blessing. Father God, I don't know what to say except thank you. Thank you for the privilege and honour of having those amazing young people among us. Lord, may we never, ever, ever just see them as children, but may we see them as part of the church that you delight in, and that they are too a delight to you. Each single one of them. You love them. You care for them. You hold them. You long for them to know you. Father God, I pray for their session this morning. And Lord, if Mark comes back saying that one of those young people has given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that the carpet needs a clean, may we all be prepared to get down on our hands and knees and praise you. And clean. And praise you. Lord, we come in passion with the depth of our feeling for those amazing young people. My prayer is not just that one will know you, but that all would know you. Not just that one would follow the Lord Jesus into the mission field, know your grace and your calling, but that all would know your grace and your calling. And I pray for those that are leading them, that you would give them the words of the Holy Spirit that would inspire and lead, that would prompt. I pray today, Lord, you would set our young people ablaze with the Spirit of God, and that they may set the church afire. Friends, in this moment of quiet, if you've got a child out with Mark, or if you want just to pray for them more generally, I invite you in these few quiet moments to bring your prayers before your Lord. Father God, thank you that you hear our prayers corporately, that you hear our prayers individually, and that you love with amazing grace, young and old alike, for we are all your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In my own Bible reading time this week, some time of quiet, I was reading Psalm 122, and so this morning we're going to come before the Lord in our prayers of intercession, in our prayers for peace. Right in the middle of right at the end of Psalm 122, from verse 6 it says this: Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. We're going to pray peace Yes, peace for the world, but also peace for the city of David, peace for Jerusalem. I invite you, friends, to join me in prayers of peace. Father God, as I look around the world, as I think of areas in this world like Afghanistan, where there is much, where people are being hurt and killed, families destroyed and ruined, I pray for your peace. Lord, as we think of that country, it seems there's a battle going on which has everything to do with greed and ambition and nothing to do with the reality of who you are. I pray, therefore, for everyone who this morning holds up a gun or threatens violence or diminishes or quashes another human being. Or, Lord, in greed is manipulating. I pray that the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which transcends all understanding, may by the power of the Holy Spirit rest on them. That today there will be a great wave of people turning to you. And Lord, that may sound like an impossible prayer, but you are the Lord of the impossible. And so in boldness, Lord, I pray, bring peace to Afghanistan. Your peace, which will take a Taliban fighter and churn him into a child of the risen Lord. I pray for your peace, which will mean he has no alternative but to lay down the arms and raise up his arms in worship. I pray for peace, your peace, which will release prisoners, set captives free, bring sight to the blind. And I pray that the light of the world, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, would shine forth from that country so that the world may see and all may know Jesus is Lord. Our God reigns. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the city you love. Lord, I pray that within its walls, those who love you would be secure, that there would be peace and security. Father God, many of our modern secular commentators say, how can there be peace while there is religious strife in that city? And yet I pray for the peace that comes when you reign. So reign in that city, I pray. For the sake of our brothers and sisters within those walls, we say, peace be with you. Father God, thank you that we're able to bring Jerusalem and Israel, Afghanistan, all the trouble spots of the world to you in prayer. And pray for peace. May peace, may it flow like a river, fall down like rain from the summer sky. And may you, Lord, reign. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, we have an amazing God who, if we were to sum him up in three words, we could say, is truly a God of grace. Roy and Jenny and the group are going to lead us in that reality.
is from Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen.
Amen. We're going to sing a song. I suggest you actually stay seated for this one and use it as a prayer. I'm sure you'll know the song, but use it as a prayer. Only by grace can we enter.
That is the reality. It's by grace and grace alone that we come. Grace, amazing grace. I wonder, where are you this morning? I don't mean physically where are you, because you're over at home watching online, or you're here live. Well, I hope you're live. Or you're watching and listening on a CD or on our website later. And I know that all of those happen within the week. We know that that happens. A few, sort of 200-300 people, one way or another, each week engage us in those ways, with us its way. What I mean is, where are you this morning? I don't know if you know this, I am not exactly built for athletics. I'm not built. I'm more of an armchair athletic stand, that's true. But I and Lorraine in the past have been truly blessed. We have some friends that are a sort of coach in that world. And so we have been blessed by being both at the Olympic Championship and World Athletics Championships in the past. We were there when the British 4x100 team won the World Athletics Championship gold. Unexpectedly, brilliant performance. As they went round afterwards, you could tell they're on top of the world. Are you on top of the world this morning? Is that how you feel? As they passed us, and incidentally I had, prior to this point, already moaned about the seats we had. Because we're on the corner and you couldn't quite see the finish. You had to watch it on the big screen. As they passed us, on their face was that sense of, I can conquer anything. A moment to see in their eyes that I won't forget. They'd won gold. Years of hard work had led to this point, and is that how you feel? Do you feel that you're not worried about a thing? You're on top of the world. Mark you. I and Lorraine, because of where we were, if I told you we couldn't see the start line, the finish line, it's because we're on the curve. Exactly at the point, a few hours earlier, where Usain Bolt had broken down. There, as this athlete lay on the track, was someone who looked like they're on the valley floor. Distraught, trained for years, been on the start line only to step off and realize that injury, pain, we're going to stop them. Dreams gone, hopes destroyed. As for worry, well, I wonder where you are this morning. Does that describe you? Are you worried about everything? About the virus, about the vaccine, about life returning to normal, about what's happening in the political world, about... It goes on and on and on. Or are you, bluntly, somewhere in the middle? Now, I've wondered if I ever did anything in the athletics. Yesterday we were watching the gymnastics. And I thought, if I could give it a go, I might win bronze. Do you know? I could. Possibly. Potentially. Actually, no. But you get my drift. Maybe somewhere in the middle. Life's okay, really. It could be better. By the same respect, it could be worse. Annoyed sometimes, happy others. On the way up sometimes, on the way down others. Depends on the day, really. Depends on the family. Depends on the kids. Depends on the neighbours. Depends whether Morrison's other supermarkets are available. Have run out of my favourite thing. Depends on how close to God I feel. As for worry, well, you worry about something sometimes. Depends on how things are, doesn't it? Whatever that means. I wonder where you are this morning. And there again, this morning, whether here or online, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? Yes, no, unsure. Or if you've known him, you know him, how long have you known him for all your life? Or did you meet him yesterday or even today? No matter, you will fit somewhere in all of those descriptions I've given you. And I want to remind you that no matter where you are this morning, no matter however you feel, whether you know Jesus or not, indeed, no matter for how long you've known him, I need to let you know right this moment that you need something. You need amazing grace. And it matters not who you are. And if you want to know how I know, because frankly, I need amazing grace. We all need it, don't we? God's awesome, super abundant, always available, never ending amazing grace. In a while in our service, we're going to sing, it won't surprise you to know, John Newton's song. Not quite sure which version, but that doesn't matter. But John Newton wrote those words. If you don't remember them, here's what he wrote. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. In my own humble opinion, there are no more powerful words in any Christian hymn or song that have ever been written. It is, according to the internet, praise be to God for that, supposedly the most sung Christian hymn in the world. Did you know that? But what's the idea about this amazing grace that we sing about? And for that matter, why am I so insistent that no matter where we are this morning, we all need it? Well, in order to capture that, we need to go back to that Ephesians 2 reading. Thank you for reading that, Jenny. To that passage of Scripture. Because what happens there is Paul reminds the Ephesians of the great work that God has done in their lives. And indeed in our life. His words tell us that grace is the centerpiece of God's salvation. We could define Scripture, if we choose to do so, well, at least our key understanding to the Christian gospel, in a few words. We could say we need to know about grace and truth and faith and love and hope, and we begin to then grasp what the gospel is truly about. But Paul says that grace is the key ingredient. Everything, Paul argues, begins with grace, and it forms from it. So what is grace? Well, my modern dictionary defines grace with grace as follows. It says, with such words, sorry. My modern dictionary defines grace using such words as these. Unmerited divine assistance, approval, favour, mercy, pardon, and privilege. Those are all nice words, but it doesn't quite ring the same when we say we're saved by God's divine assistance, does it? In fact, it leaves something unsaid. Because if we're simply saved by God's assistance, that communicates to us that we help God in the saving act. But the truth is, that is exactly what Paul says isn't the case. Because he says God is the one who acts. In fact, he has acted in Jesus Christ. It's all God. Grace, as Paul shares the concept, means the completely undeserved, loving commitment of God to us. Did you know, if you know Jesus, that God is committed to you? This morning, he is committed to you. And you can say that because grace is rooted in the very nature of who God is. God gives himself to us, attaches himself to us, and acts to rescue us. Because of his mercy and love, God saves us through his Son, Jesus Christ. God acted. And that act comes as a result of God's grace. Wrath should have come our way, Paul says. But instead, you have grace. You know, when I wrote this, I nearly wrote two words into my notes, but I left them out. But I'm going to put them in. I hope that's okay. The two words I missed out in my response to that were to say, party time. If we truly believed that God's grace was all sufficient and sufficient for all, if we truly believed that his grace was what saves us, sustains us, nourishes us, and nurtures us, if we truly believe that God, through his Son Jesus Christ, acted and that that act defines who we are, not any rubbish we tell ourselves or the world tells ourselves, then frankly, friends, it is party time. I want a party. What about you? If grace is God himself giving himself to us without precondition or without complaint, and please note he never moans about it, does he? Then you are significant. You are valuable. You're awesome. I really wished on the day that Usain Bolt broke down before us, I could have reached out to him and said, brother, under Jesus Christ, if you know him as Lord, you're valuable. No matter that 60,000 in the stadium are watching you and going, ah. Or that millions around the world are saying, poor Usain. That's not how God sees you. I just wish I could have done that. But you guess I never got the chance. Because the moment we begin to acknowledge the reality of grace in our lives, then we are moved to worship and humility. Many of you know the great Baptist luminary Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Richard is learning loads about Spurgeon at college. Trust me, it's just true. One of the other luminaries in the late Victorian era, in the late 19th century in London, was a chap called Joseph Parker. Now, on one occasion, Parker, on a Sunday morning, commented to the congregation about the children that were going to Spurgeon's orphanage, or more particularly, he commented about the poor condition of the children. That was reported back to Spurgeon, and what was told was that Parker had criticised the orphanage. So the following Sunday, Spurgeon blasted Parker from the pulpit. It was in the newspapers, the national newspapers, that had happened. It became the talk of London. What do you think happened the following Sunday? People flocked to Parker's church to hear, oh, what's he going to say? A bit like the Twitter of its day. Parker said this. Praise God for the person that recorded it. I understand Dr. Spurgeon is not in his pulpit today, and that this is the Sunday that his church would use to take an offering for the orphanage. I suggest we take a love offering here instead. And he sat down. The ushers had to empty the collection plates 3 times. Later that week, there was a knock at Parker's study. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon himself. And his words are recorded too. This is what he said. You know, Parker, you have practiced grace on me. You have given me not what I deserve, but you have given me what I needed. That's amazing grace. Demonstrated. There's another reason grace is so amazing. It did not cost. It cost the Lord immensely. Can you imagine having such a relationship with God the Father that when you are on the cross, that the weight of the world's sin, your and my sin on your shoulders, that crushing weight brings you to the point whereby that relationship with the Father comes to a low and you cry out, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus didn't die because he was crucified. Jesus, scripture says, gave up his life, became sin for us, so that we might be free. That's how much releasing you cost. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. The amazing gift of God cost. Now the Greek word that's used there is the word doron, D-O-R-O-N. And what a doron is it's the kind of gift offered as an expression of honour. And it was used whenever someone offered gifts or sacrifices to God. And it was often used when people brought gifts to the temple. It was a doron. Paul is in essence saying that God's grace is God's doron to us. His gift. His honouring gift. That's staggering. God has honoured you with the gift of amazing grace. That's amazing. And then we dishonour God. Because we're disobedient. We fail to love as we should. Yet despite all of that, he honours you with grace anyway. That's amazing grace. Verses 8 to 9, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Truth is, friends, you have not earned God's grace. Did you know that? You've done nothing to earn it. In fact, you can't earn it. When you go into the workplace, or if you are currently working, you work for 8 hours a day, you receive a fair day's pay for your time. That's called a wage. You didn't earn it. You didn't earn grace. You didn't work for it. When you best an opponent, you compete for that Olympic medal, when it's hung around your neck, that's a prize. Grace isn't the prize. when a person receives appropriate recognition for long service or high attainment. That's a gift. Well, actually, it's a reward, or an award. You have not been awarded this. So when you can't earn it, you can't win it, and you don't deserve it, it must be a gift. And that's true of grace. I don't know if you're the same as me, but in my house, gifts tend to fall into sort of two categories, really. They fall into the category that we keep and treasure. They fall into the category of, the first of all, the value of the gift that's received. If you know what I mean. If someone gives you a plate worth £1,000, you don't necessarily, well, you probably keep it and value it and put it in your cupboard or on the mantelpiece. You get the drift. If its value is high, then we'll do that. But there's also another sort of gift that we all value. Have you ever had a child create an artistic masterpiece in Fast Starters or at school or for a Mother's Day or a Father's Day or just to say thank you? Those gifts that may have little value in terms of the actual gift itself, after all. Many of you know the reality with my mum, that me and my mum, well, we loved each other, but we never expressed it. I tell you the one thing that broke me, that broke my heart when we were clearing out her flat after she died. That one of the things she had saved was a jam jar. On the outside of jam jar was all plaster of Paris. We come from the seaside. There were shells stuck in it. And a little red felt bottom to this jam jar. Made it, well, value zero. Because the 7-year-old me had made it. Value enormous. That's the sort of grace that God gives us. It's valuable, so valuable that we can't earn it. And it's born out of a relationship. Valued because of who you are. Friends, there's loads more you could say about amazing grace. I just want to say to you, God's amazing grace never stops working. God hasn't stopped loving you yet, and he never will. Hallelujah. Or in the words of Newton himself in that hymn, 'tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. According to Paul, there's no one here, no one online, no one listening on a CD that can say they do not need God's grace. And no one here who can say they have enough of God's grace. Friends, let's end our service by doing something amazing, if you'll do it with me. We're going to pray that the Lord would fill us with his amazing grace. Because it's yours from him. Abundant grace, always available grace, never ending grace, awesome, amazing grace. If you wish, I invite you, friend, to pray with me. Let's pray. Lord, as I stand here, I acknowledge for myself my need for your amazing grace. Wherever you are this morning, I invite you in your heart to lift it to the Lord and acknowledge your need for his amazing grace. If this is the first time you have ever done that, I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would himself warm your heart, that you, as you acknowledge your need of him, may feel his touch on your life. That you would give him, acknowledge before him, the sins that you have in your life that need dealing with. Acknowledge that he came and paid that great cost on a cross for you. Acknowledge that he was raised to life again. Acknowledge your need for the Holy Spirit to flood your life and set you free. And if you have known the Lord for years, decades, months, days, weeks, whatever, I pray that this morning, by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, the wind of God would flow through your life. The grace of God would be known and you would be free. Lord, we pray that we would be filled with your life-giving, grace-filled Holy Spirit. That we may know the touch of amazing grace. And that all we do in this moment and from this moment may be in worship of you. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Have your way with us, Lord, we pray. In the awesome name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whatever you face this morning, however you are, wherever you are this morning, God's grace is enough for us all. As our response this morning to God's amazing grace, Roy, Jenny and the group are going to lead us in that reality. Father, may we be found in you, united with you, one in Jesus Christ, in amazing grace. Amen. Paul says that we, because of this amazing grace, are one in Christ. And he says, I am sure he would say to the church today, as we come out of lockdown, in one way, shape or form, as COVID seems to be, rates seem to be dropping here, but going up in other parts of the world. I think Paul would remind us, this is the moment for us to lay down our way, take up his way, and concentrate solely on amazing grace. That's a blessing. I want to read to you Paul's own words later in that chapter of Ephesians chapter 2 chapter. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. May amazing grace be the reality of the week for us all, Lord. And may we live knowing your amazing grace, exhibiting your amazing grace to others, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we sing our last song, I just wanted to remind you of something we said there in that prayer. The world is not free of COVID. And different parts of the world have different experiences. We've received a prayer letter today, as we said from the vocals. So please pray, please continue to pray for the rest of the world, for our persecuted brothers and sisters who are raised in amazing grace, but having to face very different circumstances to us. We're going to end by singing, well, we could only sing one song, couldn't we, really? Roy.
Comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.